All right, good morning and welcome to Holding Fast the Faithful Word, a radio ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church right here in the small town of Auburn. This is Pastor Tim thanking you so much for tuning into the program this morning. Before we get to our lesson, I wanted to give a plug for a Bible reading plan that this is the second year actually that I've used this plan. I do give away a copy each year around the first for the church folks and encourage them to read their Bibles through in a year. A lot of times I'll get a question as to what is the best Bible reading plan or what have you. And of course there are many out there, and I know a lot of folks have some kind of plan on their phone or app or something like that. I don't. I have a paper copy that I keep in my Bible and I check off as I go through each day. So I've been using the Robert Murray McChaney Read the Bible in a Year plan. I like it. It lays it out real easy and simple. You can read both family and private, and I'll explain that in a minute. And you can do that in fairly short time. And then with mine, I like to take notes as I read each section that's required for the day. So I'll keep a journal and write down the date and my thoughts. You know, if there's a salient verse that stands out or the theme of the chapter or what have you, I'll write it down. So it works out real well. But I like this plan because it gets you through the Bible once, gets you through the Old Testament once, gets you through the Psalms twice, gets you through the New Testament twice as well. So it's got a variety of reading that you do from both the Old and the New Testament, plus doubling up on the Psalms and the New Testament. So that's very helpful. But it also has two columns. One's labeled family and the other is private. So if you have devotions at home with your family, you can each read the required reading, and then around your family altar, you can sit down and discuss what you read and raise questions and what have you. And then the private is just your personal devotional time that you may spend in the Bible. So for example, September had 1 Samuel 25, 1 Corinthians 6 under family, and then Ezra 4 and Psalm 40 and 41 for private. And you just check those off as you go through. Now, I got these from Banner of the Truth. I don't know if there's any other place that has them. I don't think so, like Amazon or something, but I get them from Banner. They're about 40, 45 cents a piece. And I think there is an online place that has this. I think one of my guys had found it online and uses that, which is fine if that's what you do. I'm a book guy. I like things in my hand, tangible, and this is one of those things that I enjoy using, at least for the time being. There was a time when I would just read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation, and so usually about 3 to 4 chapters a day will get you through the Bible in about a year. And that includes, of course, you know, reading Monday through Sunday. So Robert Murray McChaney, Read the Bible in a Year. These plans can be purchased on Banner of Truth, or you can look up online, and there may be something online that's digital. But I like the plan, and so I thought I would just give a plug for it this morning before we get into our lesson. And we're on our fourth lesson of this series, Disciplines of a Godly Man. Certainly a very important subject for men in particular. I know the author's wife wrote a book for women, and we're working through that to see what Wendy will teach to the ladies here at the church. So we covered a number of subjects, and the last one under this section will be on fatherhood. And I started this lesson with the men at the church with this question: what do you remember about your dad growing up? And I realized to some folks that, you know, there's some memories that they may not want to revisit with their upbringing. And certainly not my intent to stir people up in that regard. But for the most part, most people that I have spoken with on this subject have some fond memories of their childhood, in particular their relationship with their dad. And I know I certainly did, and some of the church folks talk about it and tell me I should write a little book on all the, you know, sayings that my dad had growing up and some of the things that he would stress to us kids. I remember So I was born in 68, so living through the 70s was certainly a challenging time for our family and for our nation, for that matter. Anybody that lived through it knows. And my dad was a hard worker, and he was a hands-on guy, and he was a disciplinarian, but he wasn't unfair. He was fair. He loved, and we spent some quality time together doing things. We didn't do fishing or football or baseball. Usually had me in the garage working with him on a car or fixing something or building something or repairing something on the house or whatever. But it was required to be doing something with him. You didn't get to sit in the house and do nothing all day. It's a big difference between children being brought up today and what I experienced back in the 70s and 80s. Big difference. And we didn't have cell phones and computers and iPads and all the stuff that we have today. And that certainly is a distraction. But back then, you just had family. And we would, as a family, I remember all four of us, my mom and dad and my sister and I, would go to our grandmother's house in Grafton. We'd get in the old Ford Esquire wagon. Some of you might remember that. It had, the wood grain laminate on the side of the car, and then the backward facing seat in the way back. I mean, this thing was a big car. And so we'd go over to our grandparents' house in Grafton and spend the afternoon on Sunday over there cooking stuff on the grill and just having a good time, you know, with family. I do remember that. I remember a lot of those types of memories. They've stuck with me, and I have tried to I have my own memories with my family, my daughter, who is married now, and then, of course, my son, who's 14. So I do spend quite a bit of time with him. If it's not fishing, we're at the gym working out or, you know, just doing something together, you know, as a father and son. So fatherhood is an important privilege that we have been blessed with, and we should not take it for granted. And I think there's a biblical response to, you know, the question, you know, what is the role of a father in raising his family? We know the mom plays a big role, but the dad plays a pretty big role as well. And we must not let a day go by where we're not exercising our fatherhood towards our children. They do remember, you know, that's why I asked the question, what do you remember about your dad growing up? Because your children are going to remember you, and they're going to remember their upbringing and the things that you taught them and how you raised them and the principles that you taught them. And that's why it's so important as a godly father. Remember, this is disciplines of a godly man, to remember as a godly father to keep everything Christ-centered. You know, raise your sons and your daughters in a godly home. You know, center around the Word of God, exalt in the Lord Jesus Christ, set the tone, set the example in your home, go to church, serve the Lord, serve in the church, you know, have a testimony of faith, not just in the church, but have a testimony of faith in your home, in the presence of your children. Let them see, you know, godliness in action in you and how you treat them and how you treat your wife and, you know, the things that you do that make you a godly man. You know, let the children see that, and they will remember that. They will remember those times, you know, when you were going through it and you were having a hard time and your faith was being tried, but you stuck to it. You carried on, you pressed on, you leaned on God, you prayed and fasted and, you know, really you didn't throw up your hands in despair and quit. You just focused on what your responsibilities were and worked, you know, through that situation the best you could, but of course with the help of God's grace. So I want to read a text of scripture to you, then we'll talk a little bit about some of the notes that I have here. But in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We have a big responsibility to raise our children up in the care and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it starts with the examples that we set for them in our conversation and our service, and just in general, you know, our life, our marriage, our home, and so on. So there are some things that we should not do. And that this is, again, fathers, sometimes we can provoke our children. And the Bible is very clear. Do not provoke your children. When children are provoked and continually provoked, don't be surprised if when they grow up, they all decide to leave. And I mean leave the faith. Don't be surprised if they grow up and they resent you. They don't want anything to do with you. They get as far away from the family as they can. You know, be that parent that listens to your children. Trust me when I tell you this. We've had our own experiences here with that and learning to listen to our children. And it's not saying you have to agree with them. You're not saying that you have to throw out your morals or your spiritual convictions or your biblical convictions. None of that. But take the time to listen to them. You know, every child is different. My daughter is vastly different than my son. And so there's different approaches that are taken when talking with them. I'm thankful. My daughter in particular is a very, very good communicator. And so we've learned a great deal from that. So don't provoke your children. You know, for example, don't be criticizing them all the time. And I understand correction. I get that. But the criticisms, constantly criticizing, maybe picking on the way they look, picking on how much they weigh, or picking on, you know, some aspect of their personality, or maybe even their academics, and just being overly critical and always negative. And it's hard being around negative people in general. Most people, most adults that you talk to about, you know, being around toxic people that are always negative. Think about your children. If all they hear is you complaining and griping and criticizing, you're going to wound those young spirits. You're going to wound them. And you're going to see the fallout from that in their teen years in particular, and then in their early adulthood. So be careful with the criticism. I understand constructive criticism. I get that. And we certainly practice that here. And even still with our older daughter, even though she's married, you know, mom has a lot to say too, and certainly I do, but don't be overly critical of your children. Help them and nurture them in the faith. That's the most important thing. It's easy to criticize. Okay? Try giving a compliment every now and then, and, you know, encouraging them. And, you know, here's the other thing too, is challenge them. You know, challenge them to go outside of their comfort zone to do things that they normally wouldn't do or even try or even think to trying. That's one of the things that my dad would always stress, you know, well, you don't know unless you try. You know, that was his, you know, mindset about things. And then he would, you know, follow up, you know, when you set your mind to something, there's no telling what you can do. And so, you know, encourage them, but don't be overly critical of them. And that can really weigh down on a child and wound them. Obviously, you want to keep them on the straight and narrow path and raise them in a godly way, in godly principles and so forth. But the third thing is excessive strictness. Being overly controlling and strict is counterproductive to good child rearing. Now, I understand there needs to be guidelines. I understand there needs to be house rules. And these should be established with the children, all the children. Now, the rules, again, every household is different. They've got a different philosophy. They've got different goals, objectives. And that is something that is outlined by the parents and upheld. And so if there are certain things that you do not want to your children doing, then you need to set those rules in place. But don't be excessively strict where they don't have a release or a vent. I mean, some parents can be really, really strict, and the child has no recourse. They get frustrated, and they'll just leave the home as soon as they can to get away from all the pressure. I remember when we were growing up, My dad was not excessively strict, but he did have rules. You know, it was, you could, you know, once breakfast was done, get out of the house, go out and play. You know, you weren't allowed to sit around in the house and come home before the lights come on. So those were the rules. And, you know, there were a number of other rules. Clean your room. Do your chores. I had outside chores. Do your chores and don't give your mother a hard time while he was away at work. Don't give your mother a hard time. And so if you followed those rules, you were pretty good. You're pretty safe. Of course, there were other things as well. And he made sure to uphold those rules. And back then, discipline was a little bit different. I didn't get put in a corner, made to sit down in the corner. No. That was, no. The belt was the preferred tool of correction for us when we were growing up. And no, we didn't turn into bank robbers or spend time in jail. There was nothing wrong with the belt. So anyway, set rules, set boundaries, make sure your children understand what they are, and then uphold those boundaries, maintain those boundaries. Then the fourth one is inconsistency. Keep your promises. Stay on point, both in faith and practice. Stay on point. Don't be inconsistent. And here's one of the things that happens in some homes is one of the children is favored above the other. And so there's inconsistency in, say, discipline. Now, that child gets a get-out-of-discipline-free card, and the other one gets disciplined for the same offense that they should have. And so be careful with the inconsistency and uphold that and stay on point both in faith and practice. Don't play favorites. I mentioned that a few moments ago. Treat all children alike. They all have different personalities and tendencies, but they all should be shown and can be shown love and care. I think that's an important thing. And again, don't forget this stuff, because we only pass by once, you know. And what are you leaving? What kind of legacy are you leaving with your children? And so we come on the other side of this now. What are some of the do's? What are some of the do's for the Christian father? And you know, my dad was pretty consistent with the discipline, and he was pretty fair across the board with my sister and I. And I do believe that he was certainly fair. And, you know, one thing about my dad, even 2 weeks prior to his passing away, he would always greet with a hug and a kiss and part with a hug and a kiss. It didn't matter. That was, he did that throughout our lives. It didn't matter. What was going on in our home or what was going on and just in life in general. You know, even after I had gotten married and started a family of my own, it was always the same. So I certainly do remember those things. And it helped me to have a perspective, particularly on discipline, that it can be done effectively in moderation and consistency and certainly with love. And so we look at three things that we should consider. Dads can be certainly harsh sometimes, and I think in men in general, we can be kind of harsh or hard and excessively firm, but our children need nurturing. They need nurturing from their dads, and that translates to our being tender with them at times. Showing them tenderness shows them how to be tender themselves. And it's okay to do that. It's okay to be tender to your children. It's okay to be sensitive to your children. Again, being, you know, this rigid overlord in your home, it can create a child that's confused about how they should learn to relate to, say, their future spouses, you know, their wife or their husband, you know, if it's a son or a daughter, and also to their children. So be tender. It's okay to do that. Exercise discipline. Now, what I mean by discipline and being consistent with this program is the disciplines associated with the faith. Disciplines associated with the faith, the disciplines of a godly man, right? Proverbs 22, verse number 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So the word discipline carries with it the word training. We must learn to train up our children in the things of the faith, in the faith. We don't always do that. You know, this is why it is important for Christian families and Christian men to lead their families in worship, in Bible study, in prayer, and also by going to church. Take your family with you. Take your wife and your children with you. Sit in church service together for that hour. Listen to the preaching of the word. Talk about it on the way home. Talk about the words that were mentioned in the sermon. Talk about the sermon in general. What did you learn from it? What did you glean from it? How does this make you a better Christian woman or a better Christian man? These are things that we can certainly do. So train the child up in the way that he should go, not the way of the world. And this is where a big struggle is today in a lot of homes, because the children are in public schools. And of course, we all know what's going on there. I mean, there's been a rapid decline morally in schools with the transgender stuff, the immoral stuff, the homosexual, lesbian stuff. And this is starting at a very, very young age. Teachers should not be instructing your children in those matters. It's not their jurisdiction. That's not their place. That's up to the parent to do that at home. That's not what they're there for. I don't care what anybody says or how they argue it. That is not what they're there for. That's your job. And dads, you should be raising your daughters and your sons to be moral beings. Of course, morality framed by the Word of God. That's the key. Not the secular world, not secular humanism. I mean, look where it is today. It's an absolute mess. So train them up in the way they should go, in the things of God. When he is old, the text goes on to say, he will not depart from it. Exercise the discipline. Again, the text says that we should bring them up, that is our children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That falls on our shoulders to make sure that as dads, we are training our children up to follow Jesus Christ, to follow the Bible, and to make application with these scriptural truths to their own lives, to exercise godliness. Then there's instruction, which is similar to the previous point, but really talk to them about life and things. Show them what it means to be a dad. Show them what it means to be a dad. And again, I understand by example, but sit down and talk about it. Talk about, you know, what he would need to do if you're talking to your son or your daughter. You know, what it means to lead a home, how to treat a woman, how to treat a husband. You know, your words and actions go a long way in giving children comfort and instruction and helping them to find balance and purpose in their life. They're looking forward, you know, someday I'm going to get married. Someday I'm going to have a home. Someday I'm going to have children. And, you know, and teach them how to go about doing those things. And of course, with this, obviously, you're teaching about Christianity and how to live and the faith and live out their faith in this world that is so fallen away as far as faith is concerned. So there's a lot of confusion today with children, unfortunately, a lot of hopelessness, a lot of despair. Children are just, they're frustrated and they're trying to find a way. I talk to more young people and, you know, they're frustrated and they need that balance. They need that framework. They're not getting it from school. They're getting a bunch of stuff that's confusing them more and more. It's bizarre. I don't even have words to describe the stuff that's going on other than it's just blatant lies and, you know, depravity. It's the result of depravity, result of man's wayward heart. Hates the things of God, hates purity and holiness and righteousness. And so in matters of faith, in matters of service, be consistent. Be consistent at home, go to church, sit with your family if you can. You know, remember these times. Even if a single word isn't spoken, they will remember your presence in the home and in the church. So provoke not your children unto wrath. Don't provoke them. You don't want to lose them. You don't want to lose them to the world. You don't want to lose them to a false teacher, a false prophet. You just want them to follow the Lord and stay on point. Teach them how to do that. That's the key. Teach them how to live out their faith following Jesus. All right, it's time to bring this message to a close. Take care, and may the Lord richly bless you.